The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
It's Thursday, the 27th of June, 2019. On the podcast today, I have Martin Higginson, CEO of Emotion Group. That's IMMO. And Martin discusses their agreement for the installation of a 12-station VR entertainment zone at the O2 in London. Also on the podcast, Ed Dawson, Managing Director of Prospects Oil and Gas, PXOG, and Ed talks about the significance of the spudding of their Bainet 2 well in northeast Romania. Also on the podcast, Kieran Mazaria, Chief Executive Officer of Cadence Minerals, that's KDNC ticker, and Kieran explains why they've conditionally raised $1.6 million in regards to the Amapa iron ore project. Plus, as always, I have two lists for you. The top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs. By the way, you can see top 10 versions of both these lists at voxmarkets.co.uk, and you'll see a load of other content there as well, articles, blogs, videos. And one final thing, by the way, if you use the Vox Markets app, it's free to download. Obviously, it didn't cost us nothing. It cost us lots of money to develop it. But if you use it, get some value from it, then please go to your app store and give us a decent rating and review. And that's all the payment we require.
Want to get live push notification alerts whenever a company you follow releases an RNS? Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Martin Higginson, Chief Executive Officer of Emotion. That's IMMO ticker. Martin, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thanks, Justin. Thanks for having us on.
Now, you've been on sort of once before, and I've done a couple of videos on you, but for people not familiar, if they're listening for the first time and they never heard of the company, can you just explain or summarise what Emotion's all about, please, Martin?
Yeah, we are a UK-based immersive virtual reality company specialising in delivering out-of-home entertainment products, combining cutting-edge experiences developed by our in-house studios and in partnership with other leading creators, and combining those with motion platforms to deliver a truly immersive experience for our customers.
Yeah, and so you have sort of different, I mean, there's different ways you can earn revenue, isn't it? By supplying pods, by supplying VR experiences, content, and all that stuff. And your pods at the moment are in different areas, aren't they? So there are sort of your own sort of, there's some big shopping centres, aren't there? But they're also in like theme parks and zoos and aquariums.
Yeah, I mean, what we look for is high footfall destinations. So prominently, we are an out-of-home company. Obviously, we make money, as you alluded to. We sell on the long tail, so the experiences that we develop, we sell on the long tail to the home market. But our main focus is in partnering up with high footfall destinations. So on our edutainment type products, we've got aquariums, zoos, science centres, museums, all taking our motion platforms and offering a range of edutainment products for their customers. And this provides really valuable ancillary revenue for those partners. And on the entertainment sector, we've got roller coasters and we've now got our free roaming experience, which we'll talk about shortly, that we're putting into high footfall leisure destinations, family entertainment centres. And again, this drives good ancillary revenue. It allows them to bring the theme park into a very small footprint. So we're delivering additional revenues for them. We work in a partnership model, so we split revenues. So the better they do, the better we do. So it's very much about us looking for high footfall quality partners, where we can really sort of exploit that sort of footfall base to drive more revenues.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's dig into this bit of news here. Exclusive free roaming experience to launch at the O2. Take us through this. What's this all about?
Yeah, I mean, it's very exciting. We signed a deal with MGM-backed Servios, based in Los Angeles, in the USA. MGM recently led a $50 million funding round for Servios. They launched a game called Raw Data some years ago for the home market. What we've done is we've done a deal with them to now to create an arcade version of that, a multiplayer arena version that we now have the exclusive rights on a global basis, excluding Asia, to monetize this platform and put it onto our arena. So what you've basically got is you've got four people can battle against each other in a sort of 4 meter by 4 meter space, and this will launch at the O2 later this month.
Wow, that's exciting.
And that's basically been done in a it's been done in a deal. We've also, you know, as well as doing the deal with Servios, we've just done a deal with AEG, a partnership deal to launch a VR sort of area in the O2. So we'll have 12 sort of VR stations at the O2. And these will include sort of 4 VR roller coaster seats. They'll also include 4 underwater explorer cinema pods. And obviously the new arena that we've just spoken about, the first launch of this arena will be in the O2 later this month.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of uptake here. And I mentioned previously, there doesn't seem to be any lack of demand for your products and your content at the moment and what you're doing. I mean, are you seeing a decent amount of demand for it?
Yeah, look, I mean, we spent a long time creating great content, partnering with great content producers such as Servios. So we've really established ourselves as the market leader in out-of-home experiences. We've also spent a lot of time with our sort of manufacturers of the motion platforms, perfecting those and improving the quality. And then all of this sits on our own internally developed content management system that's then backed up by our sort of customer support sort of team. So what we've done is we've pulled all these things together over the last 12, 18 months. It's a very high barrier to entry. There's a lot of moving parts here. Mm-hmm. But now we've actually got everything in flow. We're actually seeing great demand from partners, great demand from high footfall locations. And literally it's just about sort of keeping up with that demand, making sure that the procurement cycles, making sure that we can install these and making sure that we've got all the marketing support for the team. But our new stands that we're doing are very much sort of dressed in the right way. They've got a lot of promotional material around them, and I think the stuff that we're putting into the O2 will really sort of set the standards of out-of-home sort of immersive entertainment.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's the ambition here, Martin, for the company of yourself here?
Yeah, look, we want to keep rolling these out. As we talked about before, you know, this is a tipping point business. So, you know, we need to get enough partners, enough seats out there to reach that tipping point to make sure that we hit the break-even point. And then everything that we then do sort of after that just literally flows straight to the bottom line. So we need about 400 seats to reach EBITDA sort of break even. We're well on the way to doing that. Deals, you know, an extra 12 seats into a high footfall site like the O2. You know, it has 7 million visitors a year. So you can see that that's a big tick in the box. I think the more of those we add on, and we're getting more inquiries every day, then you know, the more we can, A, start building up that recurring revenues, but B, because we're entering, in the majority of cases, we're entering into sort of 3-year deals on this basis. So we can really sort of have some foresight into where our revenues are going to come from. And then it's just literally about little steps of improving the performance of each site. And just by adding theater, we've seen better performance. By adding a few little sort of nuances, we can improve the performance that each site delivers on a global basis.
Yeah, yeah. And you mentioned there 400 being the sort of magic number. Are you allowed to say what you're up to at the moment, or is that a top secret?
No. I mean, you know, we're sort of, you know, well past 250. We've got another sort of, you know, sort of 70 or 80 in the pipeline. So, you know, we're well on the way to where we want to be. So I don't think that's any secret at all. You know, this is about getting the thing right. It's about getting the right partners. You know, it's easy to roll out seats to everybody. What we've got to do is look for quality destinations, quality locations, such as the O2. Make sure that we've got quality partners such as Servios delivering world-class number one content onto those pods, so that combination really makes sure that the customers want our product and pay for it accordingly.
Yeah, and I suppose talking about quality partners, you sort of in partnership with Merlin Entertainment, who should be a massive help for you, shouldn't they? Or could be.
Yeah, look, I mean, people like Merlin are, you know, they're a premier partner. You know, we continue to enhance their model. You know, we've installed in Sea Life in Germany, and we've got two in Australia, all of which are going very well. So that, you know, the better they perform, then the quicker we will roll out into other Sea Life destinations around the world. So, you know, it literally is starting to snowball now. We're seeing, you know, a lot of uptake and a lot of interest in our product. We are uniquely positioned, and we're the only company that is able to offer this solution, this partnership solution, where we fund the hardware and the experience, and then we share in the revenue with our partners. So that's something that is unique to Emotion. I think the other thing that is unique to Emotion is our ability to curate and partner with top quality content originators. So when you go on our pods, you are guaranteed that you're going to get a truly immersive, enjoyable experience, whether that be edutainment or entertainment.
Yeah. And I suppose it's quite obvious that, you know, putting these pods where people go to spend money, where they want to experience new experiences. Because there's been a lot of talk about VR not being taken in home and not working in home. And I can understand that, because when you're at home, you're not going to sit there with a box on your head, you know, when you're cooking dinner. But I mean, you know, when you're out and about, you want to experience different things and enjoy yourself. So people go to the O2 to spend money to experience this kind of stuff, don't they, you know?
Yeah, look, it's about putting them in leisure destinations. So if you're going for leisure, if you're going for entertainment, then you have an expectation that you're going to spend on entertaining yourself. If you're going to a zoo or an aquarium or a museum, then you want to educate yourself. And VR is probably the best level of immersive sort of edutainment that you're going to get. Because you're completely immersed in what you're looking at, your ability to retain that information is much, much higher. So things like our sort of swimming with whales and swimming with sharks, you know, are getting great uptake, because you just can't experience that in the natural world. So VR allows you to do that in a very sort of up close and personal way.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, one final thing, or three final things, Martin. If someone's listening to this right now, likes the sound of what you're doing, the progress you're making, but are not following the story as yet, give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page and add you to their watch list, please.
Look, you know, as I said before, we're heavily invested in this. The whole management team is shareholders in this business, so we are totally committed. I think for me, it is about our ability to bring all these sort of components together, create this high barrier to entry in terms of combining world-class content with high footfall destinations. And I think thirdly, it is about the ability to sort of see your revenues on a runway. So building up these recurring revenues, building up these three-year partnerships allows us great foresight into where our revenues are coming from. So this is not all about sort of sales where you've got to go and sort of, you know, do the same thing tomorrow. This is about partnerships where you can sort of have sight of your revenues going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose you're a bit humble there, but you're a pretty experienced businessman yourself, haven't you? Aren't you?
Yeah, look, we've been around the block a few times, so you learn. We've all got a few scars, but we certainly learn. And I think, you know, this is probably the most exciting business that I've been involved with. And we've invested our time, cash, and energy into sort of building this. So we've got some big ambitions for this one.
Yeah, well, that's quite encouraging to hear, because I advise anyone, urge anyone to just pop to your website there and check out the board, and you can see your track record there. It's quite impressive. So to say this is one of the most exciting things you've been involved in, it's quite encouraging to shareholders. Martin, thanks very much for that, and hopefully we'll catch up again in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Ed Dawson, Managing Director of Prospects Oil & Gas. PXOG is the ticker there. Ed, thanks for joining me.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Well, it's a pleasure, Ed. Now, you've had some news. Well, to be honest, we've got you on because you had news out. I don't just call it for a chat, a random chat. So yesterday announced the Baynet 2 spudding. We'll dig into that for people not familiar with that as well. But and also for anyone listening right now who, you know, maybe familiar or not familiar with the company, could you just summarise, Ed, because this is one part of what you've got going on. Summarise Prospects Oil & Gas, please.
We've got three assets at the moment in Europe, one in Romania, one in Spain, and one in Italy. Italy is one-sixth of a license that's got a... We drilled the gas discovery on it in 2017, had great flow tests in 2018, and that will come on production in 2020. You know, that will generate meaningful cash flows for us. Spain is a project called Tesorillo. It has a CPR attached to it, which in a mid-case has 800 BCF attributable to the license. There was a well drilled on it in the 50s, brought gas to surface, and we think absolutely fascinating. Obviously, in the 50s, there was no infrastructure. There now is the Maghreb pipeline going across the block. And obviously, all these projects benefit from a strong gas market in Europe.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, let's dig into this bit of news. The Baynet 2 spudding. Take us through that, Ed. Take us what the potential is here for prospect oil and gas as well, if you could.
Yeah. Company followers will know that we expanded the license area in beginning of the year and raised funds to go and drill this well. We presently produce from Baynet itself. Baynet West is a lookalike. It's a number, well, it's a couple of kilometers down the road. So we're chasing a biogenic gas target. It's around 600 meters. These things, if they sit close to a fault like Baynet West, there's, you know, there's usually a very high chance that they come in. And so we see it as a very low cost, low risk, sensible opportunity to take up. We'll be able to tie it in relatively easily. Baynet was tied in within 11 months. And, you know, and got onto production. So for us, you know, we're chasing possibly 1 to 2 BCF. It's not big in that sense, but it's very quick, easy, good cash flow for us.
Mm-hmm. And days to completion, how long is it going to take?
Well, we've said 15 to 20 days to include drilling and testing. We're all 600 meters is fairly shallow. You know, we've kicked off now and we're already, you know, some way down. These things in terms of drilling are fairly quick. It's the other things around it. You have to set casing and wait on cement and things like that to dry. So yeah, it's all going to be fairly quick.
Yeah, marvelous stuff. Okay, Ed. Cool stuff. Well, in the meantime, for people, you know, liking the sound of this but are not yet following the story, as always, I'd give them those three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page and add you to their watch list, please.
We're a strong management team. We've got a history of in private companies creating huge shareholder value. We have a diversified portfolio. We've drilled two successful wells in the last 18 months, and obviously this is our third go at it. We think it's, you know, relatively low risk. It will be a great addition to the portfolio, and obviously there's plenty of news flow from Romania and from our other assets coming up. So, you know, plenty to keep people interested in, and also, you know, there's huge embedded value in the portfolio.
Yeah. And what's the valuation at the moment? Is it about, let me just check here, about just under 3 million, isn't it, market cap?
Yeah, I don't have a screen in front of me, but yeah, call it 3 million. Yeah, it's...
A touch under, that's it,
yeah,
marvellous stuff.
Yeah.
Ed, thanks for that, and hopefully we'll catch up in the not-too-distant future.
All right. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Kieran Mazaria, Chief Executive Officer of Cadence Minerals. KDNC is a ticker there. Kieran, thanks for joining me.
Pleasure to speak to you again, Justin.
Yeah, now you've raised £1.6 million gross, and we'll get into what that's going to be used for. But as always, Kieran, could you summarise Cadence for people not familiar to the company, please?
Absolutely, Justin. So Cadence is an investment company listed on AIM with ticker KDNC. We have a suite of investments. The primary ones are European Metals Holdings, which has a 19% of the Sinovec lithium asset. We also have the MacArthur Minerals iron ore asset. And this one, which we're just raised the money to invest in, which is the Amapa iron ore asset in Brazil.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's go into that. So obviously, you're seeing this. I mean, of course, every investment you make, you see decent potential in it. But take us through this, why you've raised money there, and what it's going to do, and also just reiterate the potential here, if you could.
Well, so, you know, we've raised this money. It's part of the consideration or the investment we're going to make into the assets. It's not going to the vendor. So we're putting $2.5 million, which gives us 20% of the Amapa iron ore asset. Now, the Amapa iron ore asset was a former Anglo-American mine, which when it was sold was worth on their books $600 million. And effectively what we're paying for it is, if you take a multiple of it, we are buying taking 20% of this at $2.5 million, which basically grossed that up, values $12.5 million. So we're buying something that was in 2012 or 13 worth $600 million, for $12.5 million, where we're having similar iron ore prices. And the iron ore asset itself is the integrated asset, which has a port, a railway, and a mine with a 14-year mine life. So it's for us, given that we know that, you know, we've got a very good idea of the historic cost, the capital cost that's going to cost to invest in it, and, you know, the iron ore pricing and shortage. For us, this represents a really great opportunity, given the pricing differential of, you know, basically we're buying it for 12.5 effectively gross value, and it was at its height worth $600 million.
Yeah, yeah. And so what do you say to, I've often had this question, if I've invested in a company that's, a small company that's acquired a decent asset of a bigger company, and the question has always flown out there saying, well, why did the bigger company get rid of it?
Well, so actually, there's a very long history with this asset. So Anglo American bought it off a Brazilian high net worth individual, and got production up to 700,000 tons a year, 700,000 tons a year, and then they moved up to production up to 6.5 million tons. Then they were sold it. They were in the middle of selling it to Zamin Amapa Brazil, and at that point, during that sale process, there was a port collapse. You know, if you know anything about iron ore, as soon as you stop the logistics, you're not going to get any revenue from it. So that, as soon as that port collapse occurred, they effectively couldn't generate any revenues. They could continue mining, and in fact, they continued to mine up until 2015, but they couldn't get the, it went into the ownership of Zamin Amapa Brazil, and they didn't raise the capital to bring it back into production. You also had, coincidentally with that, the iron ore price 2015 dropping down to its lowest point for a very, very long time. Since 2015, so ultimately, that's the reason why. That's the reason why it stopped operating and it went into administration. Since then, we've seen an increase in the iron ore price. We've had a depreciation of the Brazilian real, which has made the cost of capital investment in Brazil, the operating costs in Brazil, cheaper. It becomes a much more economic prospect. So the reason it was not developed was a low iron ore price and a collapse of the port. The reason why it can be developed again is because of now an increasing iron ore price, a lower cost because of depreciation rail, so it really starts to make sense economically.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, and so in terms of this investment, what's the next big milestone then, Kieran?
Well, next big milestone is that we will use the $2.5 million, partly from the raise and from our own working capital, to embark on what they call the judicial review process. So the judicial review process means that there's a creditors meeting. Once that creditors meeting approves our acquisition, we will own 20% of this asset. And when we own 20% of the asset, we will start the process of slowly rehabilitating it. You know, we then would look to raise a later date a further $3.5 million, which basically will commission the the report in relation to the recommissioning report. And from that, we'll be able to determine the overall economics and what we're looking in terms of NPV valuations and CapEx and OpEx in a public domain. We would be in the interim period. One of the great things about it, it does have a stockpile. That stockpile will provide working capital for the company and will provide, we believe, a substantial portion of any equity required for the construction of or for the rehabilitation of the mine, port and railway.
Lovely stuff. Okay. And over what time period is that then happening?
So we anticipate that we would be basically looking to ship from the iron ore pile, subject to all the licenses being granted, et cetera, et cetera, around Q4 this year. So you would see revenue to a joint venture company in Q4 this year. And then in 2021 would be full-time production from the mine. From the mine. So we'd see in 2021 we'd start taking new production mine and basically getting up to full production, which we believe would be around 4.5 million tons per annum, of which the large majority of it will be 65% iron ore, which is trading at around $120 a ton at the moment.
Lovely stuff. All right, marvellous stuff. Okay, Kieran, so one last thing then. For people listening who likes the sound of this and not yet following the company on Vox there, give them three quick reasons why they should add you to their watch list, please.
The three reasons to add KDNC to the watch list. The first one is just what we've talked about. We've got this great opportunity with the Amapa iron ore asset, which represents substantial upside in value when you look at the then price of $600 million and we're buying it at $12.5 million. In addition to that, we have exposure to the lithium metals and electric vehicle markets through our 19% shareholding in European Metals Holdings, which has got one of the largest lithium deposits, hard rock lithium deposits in the world, and certainly the largest in Europe. And we've also got exposure to another asset, which is called MacArthur Minerals, which has an offtake with Glencore, and they're an iron ore asset in Australia. So you've got, across that, you've got a suite of public listed companies and joint ventures. And certainly in the public listed company there, if you look at the valuations of that, that certainly supports our market cap as it stands at the moment.
Marvellous stuff. Kieran, good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll be catching up in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Justin.
OK, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five. Nanoco Group, N-A-N-O, Nanos, ticker there, up 11% a day. At four, it's Emotion Group, I-M-M-O. Of course, I checked the Martin. The deal flow is really picking up here, and good deals as well, proper businesses. 0.2, 9 million people visit that a year. At three, Integumin. Skin is ticker there. Final results out of the day, 4.82%. At two, E Therapeutics, up 51%. ETX has been talked about for a while on Twitter. And number one, most liked RNS, most followed companies, Polarion, P-O-L-X. I did cover that on a video last night on my YouTube channel. Check it out. Decent company there. Excellent tech. And that will transform the world of lung imagery. When they pass their... I say when, if, but high chance of them doing so. When they pass their phase 3 results, so tests in Q3. Okay, top 5 most liked RNS has come from the following companies. At 5... Location Sciences, Change of Advisor, at 4. And Nana Developments, update on Tiamat Agriculture. Oh, easy for me to say. Update on Tiamat Agriculture Limited. At 3, Asia Met Resources, new corporate presentation. At 2, Zananga Iron Ore, final results. And number 1, most liked RNS, came from Sirica Energy, AGM Operational Financial Update. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchus appreciate.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer.
Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.